Good afternoon. We're going to open the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. Today is Thursday, March 24, 2005, and we're going to have a public hearing agency priority on House Bill 5024, the Employment Department. We have Monica Brown, our good LFO analyst, with us, and Cap Bell, our Subcommittee assistant. For the record, Representative Richardson and Senator Verger are excused for other business. For those who may, I think you folks know the process. For those who may be listening, what we are going to be doing today is an exercise in prioritizing the Oregon Employment Department's program unit activities, if you will. And in this committee, we rate on a schedule of 1 to 5, 1 being a very high rating, 5 being a very low rating, 3 being an average rating, and for those members who are undecided as to high, low, or medium, you can take a 4 or a 2, depending upon how you choose to feel about that issue. In addition to the ratings, committee members, please remember that if there's an issue as we go through this that is important to you that you would like us to flag for round 2 discussion, please make that known, and we'll flag that issue, and we'll have further discussion on it as we move forward. With that said, why don't we begin? We also have, just for the record, we have Senator Verger's priorities with us, and I don't know, Monica, if you would mind as we, if you could just voice out hers as we go. So why don't we start with number 1, and that would be licensing regulation to ensure the safety of children in care.
1.
Senator Morris.
1. Excuse me. 1.
Okay.
Senator Verger had that as a 1?
I have it as a 1. Pay unemployment benefits.
1.
1.
Senator Verger was a 1?
I'm a 1. Collect unemployment tax wage reports.
1.
1.
Senator Verger was a 3?
I have it as a 1. Implied consent hearings.
1.
1, but I have a question as to why that activity is in the Employment Department.
Okay. Let's do this really quickly. Why don't we have you folks come up? I apologize. I should have brought you up earlier. And if you could just introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Debbie Lincoln. I'm the director of the Employment Department. And Senator Morris, we have in the Employment Department the entire Office of Administrative Hearings. We do administrative hearings for almost all agencies. There are a few that are exempted from that. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do the Department of Motor Vehicles, Driver and Motor Vehicles hearings on implied consent.
And my question still remains, seems like a strange place to put the administrative hearings in.
I would share, Senator Morris, I have talked with one of the co-chairs, Senator Schrader, and have made a request that this be an issue we flag for round 2, where perhaps we bring in former Representative Shetterly to kind of tee up this issue a little bit for us, provide some background information. And then I've also asked, or I will be asking, excuse me, the folks before us, folks from the workers' comp group who also have a similar type activity, and also folks from the Bureau of Labor and Industry to come. I'm going to ask them to come forward, and perhaps we're just going to put them all right here and just have an open discussion on why we have multiple hearings panels, if that would be... If that'd be okay to Senator.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it'd be very appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome, Senators. We're on number 4. Why don't we take a moment and we could catch up really quick. We're not too far.
I don't know if I brought...
Right. While he hunts for his paperwork, I am prepared.
Don't we have a sea of paperwork? Tsunami.
The tsunami. I heard that last night on television.
I'm a coastal kind of guy. I can say that. I am a high on number 1. I am a high on number 2. I am a high on number 3. I have stolen something from my good... Oh, I'm sorry. These are all 1s. I'm sorry. Different committee. I have stolen something from my good friend and colleague, Senator Morris. I am a high, low, or a 1-5 on the next one. I think the hearings are very important. I believe you were right in a discussion about why we have hearings panels scattered all over the place, and that was my concern, Mr. Chair.
Perfect. One, two.
Perfect. And, again, for the committee, we will be having multiple folks come before us to share their rationale for maintaining a hearings panel in their different agency, bureau, or department.
On that one, Senator Verger had a one.
Perfect.
And yours?
Oh, I was a one. Core economic surveys.
One.
Senator Westland.
One.
I'm sorry to be a problem child today, Mr. Chair. I had a question about this one with one of the other issues later on that continues to hunt for. Customized services, it's number 19, customized services to customer groups. And then another data gathering initiative in this budget. And I just wanted to make sure that, I'm sorry, number 8, Workforce and Economic Research Division. I couldn't remember from the high-level presentation what the structure of all of these are, whether or not there were any efficiencies to be found by combining functions.
I as well had question marks on those. Perhaps we could get an explanation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, these are all part of the Workforce and Economic Research Division. They're done by the same staff. They're all part of the same function.
Mr. Chair, my question is answered, and I would just add parenthetically, I had the great privilege of serving on the Board of the Federal Reserve, and as part of the extended Fed family, I send in your reports regularly to the Federal Reserve economic analysis folks, and they find them very useful, and I find them very useful.
Thank you very much. I'll pass that on to them.
Is there a way of making the data a little more positive for my district?
Mr. Chairman, we were trying real hard.
Where are we here? We're on...
Senator Johnson.
Oh, Senator Johnson, your score.
I'm a one with the my question now answered.
Two.
Senator Berger was a two.
And I'm a one. Field office core services.
One.
Senator Westland.
One.
I'm a one.
One.
And I'm a one.
And Senator Berger was a one.
Okay. We're to tier two, subsidies for families transitioning off of public assistance.
One.
Double one.
I'm a one.
One.
Senator Berger was a two.
And I'm a one. Workforce and Economic Research Division.
Two.
One.
One.
Two.
Senator Vercher was a three.
I'm a one. Okay. Division of Child Support Hearings established the monetary obligation of a non-custodial parent for support.
One.
One.
Mr. Chair, I was a one, but again, I raised the question, why here? And there must be some legislative history unknown to me, and perhaps you could help right now or come back in phase two with it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, sounds like we'll be talking more about this in phase two, but we can bring back a one-pager on why the hearings panel, get that to you right away so you'll be prepared for that.
Mr. Chair, perhaps I didn't ask my question with adequate clarity. Why a child support issue?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, we do the hearings for... Am I doing this right? This is the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. We do the hearings for the Division of Child Support. So all we do is the administrative hearings process for them and determine whether or not do the administrative process through that. So we don't actually oversee the program or have anything to do with the program. We simply adjudicate the issue.
Thank you for that reminder, because obviously I didn't remember that from the high-level overview. And then is this done in an intergovernmental agreement, or what mechanism?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, it's almost the same kind of relationship agencies have with the Attorney General. They pay us a per hourly charge fee for our administrative law judge time, clerical time, that kind of thing. So there is a contract between us and all the agencies we do hearings for.
Thank you. I'm a one, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Senator Berger was a 1.
This is another one of those bipolar responses. Very important 1, but it falls in the category with a broader question of the placement of the hearings panel process.
For round 2, I think we'll want to flag that just to have some more discussion. Yeah. I think what I'll need, too, is a little 101 on the funding and how that works.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's move on. Veteran Services.
1.
1.
A 1, Mr. Chair, but again with the question, with so much emphasis on veteran services in this legislature, the fact that we have a veterans department, the fact that I have heard some very compelling testimony in my own community when I convened a group of veterans that are struggling, and they said how helpful the county veteran service officers were, and I know that there is a bill proceeding through trying to seek funding for them. I'm just curious what relationship you have with Mr. Willis's shop, and why specifically this is here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, I think it's probably because of the way the federal government set up some of these programs. The employment and training program for veterans has always been with employment security departments. It has been conducted in close association with veterans departments in the military. For example, today, 6 of our veterans representatives are team teaching with fellows from the National Guard. There's the TAP program. What does that mean? The returning program for people coming back from the Middle East. So we work real closely with Jim Willis's department. We work real closely with Colonel Caldwell. And in the local areas, our disabled veterans outreach people and our veterans employment and training specialists know a great deal about community resources and work very, very closely with the resources in the communities, too. So I think there's a real good network, and we're working very closely together. You're right, there are programs spread around, but I'm particularly given the pressures we're under right now with so many vets coming back, I'm real pleased with the way way all those folks are working together. That may be another one, though, Mr. Chair, you may want to have a little bit more in-depth. We can bring our veterans technician who runs this program in to talk a little bit. He's been in, he with some of our staff, and again, his partners and other agencies have talked to the Vets Committee, and there is a lot of interest in this. We'd be happy to do a 10-minute briefing on that for you.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that, Mr. Chair, by your leave. I also would like one follow-up question. I haven't done this with this agency, but periodically, just to see how the referral patterns go, I'll call an agency and ask for help in a particular issue area just to see how the referral goes. And I will disclose I have not done this here. But when you come back with your phase 2, I would be very curious how your referral patterns work. When you say that you work closely with them, my impression is that the first voice that a person speaks to when they call an agency is often dispositive about how well that person's problem gets handled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to know what level of training the people that if I ring this number up, how they would process it, who they refer me to. Do they have all the phone numbers at their hand? Do they know that if I describe a particular issue that I need help with, that Ben Westland is the person to call and here's his number? Those are the kinds of issues that I want to seek out, just in terms of how well you're training your customer service folks in an area. People are not calling you because they're happy. They're calling you, I presume, because they need help, they need service, they're frustrated. Many may be disabled, many may be impecunious, they're anxious, and I just want to know to what degree you are inculcating a culture of service into the people that answer the phone at that level.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Johnson, Greg is the best I've ever seen in this kind of customer service, so I'm going to ask him to jump in real quick.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we have...
Name on the...
For the record, my name is Greg Kickman, Deputy Director of the Employment Department. We have staff who are dedicated to working with veterans. They're called Local Veterans Employment Representatives, Disabled Veteran Outreach Program workers. And their job is to do that, to be doing outreach in the communities, connecting with veterans organizations. They have great relationship, I believe, with county veteran service officers.
May I stop you right there?
Please.
When you come back, could you detail for us in some written form where the nexus is between the folks you're describing and the county veterans people? Because the complaint that I'm hearing from the veterans who are my constituents are, nobody talks to us. And I also think that for those of us that represent less populous counties outside of the metropolitan core, that we would be very appreciative to know volumes and numbers of contacts that you're having with veterans in those lesser, not lesser, excuse me, Mr. Chair, smaller, less populous counties.
Mr. Chair,
God, I almost walked myself into a real problem.
We'd be very happy to provide that information.
If I haven't recovered well at all.
Thank you. Finish. I interrupted you.
I'm sorry. No, we'd be very happy to provide that information. We can do that. Just real quickly, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we served about 44,000 veterans last year. So that just sort of gives you an idea of the numbers of veterans who have used our services. But we can certainly give you much more detail about those connections, those referrals we have, and particularly in those local, I want to say this correctly.
Less populated.
Lesser populated areas, yes, thank you.
Children of a lesser God.
Land large. I'd point out that in the coming weeks as my understanding, we'll have the Veterans Affairs folks in this committee, and perhaps there'll be an opportunity to have you folks join them for a period of time, and so we could have an integrated communication. I'd also point out to the committee, I also called departments on a regular basis to shop, and the Employment Department was absolutely excellent in the response back. On my private email, I sent them a request for information, and ended up getting chastised by my staff because they responded back so quickly before I had told my staff I made the call, and they were convinced they had to talk to me even though I hadn't told my staff what was going on, so I created confusion there. So at least on my shopping trip, it was very successful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Why don't we move on?
Chair, Mr. Pavlakian had...
I'm sorry, Representative Pavlakian.
I was just pointing to you.
Oh. Could I ask one question?
Of course, Chair.
We don't need an answer here, but kind of along the lines of Senator Johnson's questioning, is there anything we can do for you statutorily that will enable, help, expedite what I'm beginning to believe is already a pretty good coordination?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But think about that. Is there something we can do to help
the
coordination of Veterans Affairs?
Good. Thank you very much. We'll bring back some ideas.
I'm going to add to the committee a comment that was received might be earlier today, asking for a large amount of financial funding for some veterans' efforts. And I think because some of that will land in this committee, I think we do need to have more discussion and flush out what is the best use of dollars for this issue. And have the whole committee weigh in on this rather than just having it come to the chair. Okay. Why don't we move on with that? Unemployment insurance hearings.
One.
Oh, do we not?
Yeah, 110. I need Senator Morse's vote.
One.
Berger was a one, and Mr. Chair?
One.
Okay. I'm a one. Okay.
Let's go to number 11. Unemployment insurance hearings. We'll go to Senator Morris.
One.
Okay. Senator Westland.
One.
One.
I'm a one.
Senator Berger was a two.
Okay. Resource and referral.
Two.
Senator Carter.
Can you, just a little question, tell me a little bit about that. Oh, that's the children, the child care. I got that one, yes. I am
one.
Definitely a one on that.
I knew that one.
He covered for you. Senator Morris.
Number 12, one.
Senator Berger was a three.
I'm a one. Okay. We're moving to tier three. Or, no, I'm sorry. 13, unemployment benefit payment control.
Two.
Can you tell me what kind of, Mr. Chairman, please?
Yeah, please.
Can you tell me, Dr. Lincoln, what kind of problems you've been having with that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, this is, dear, if you've watched Channel 2 in the last couple of nights, that's benefit payment control. This is where UI claimants either intentionally or due to some fault of their own or by a mistake on our part, get more benefits than they are entitled to, and we need to collect those overpayments. When it's an error on our part or something that we should have caught, we don't insist on payment. When it's something that the claimant himself or herself has done, we go after those payments.
Two.
One.
One.
Senator Berger was a two.
And I'm a one. Can you share with me really quick, or we perhaps be ready on round two to share with us the range of over and under payment? What's the average? What's the median? And then also, what are worst case scenarios that have occurred? Let's move on.
We should bring that back. I can't do that right here.
Sure. Okay. Let's move on to tier three Trade Act program.
Two.
Senator Carter. Number 14.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh. A one.
Two. One.
Senator Berger was a three.
And I'm a one. For the committee, I've asked the department to be thinking of innovative ways that this program may be able to work with small business partners along with other programs.
Okay.
So let's move on to claimant reemployment.
Three.
Two.
Two. One.
Senator Berger was a five.
Five. And I am a three. Going slow here, Senator Johnson. I'm a three on number 15.
15, I'm a two.
Okay. Quality initiatives?
One.
Senator Carter?
Number two.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter is distracting me. Incredible, intensive, white-hot, laser-light focus on this.
We're on number 16.
And I'm glad that I'm able to confirm Senator Carter's two vote on it as well.
All right. Senator Johnson?
This is on number 16.
Yes.
I unfortunately didn't rate that one because I couldn't refresh my memory fast enough about a question. Who sets the priorities in these quality initiatives? I couldn't recall from your presentation the genesis of them.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, there is a committee. Well, there are several committees around child care, but and I'm sorry I can't give the exact name, but we'll get that for you, of a variety of people who are working on this thing. It includes the Commission on Children and Families, the Commission on Child Care, the state agencies, the local provider organizations, a whole variety of everybody who has some policy say in child care. They meet regularly and they set priorities for the whole program, including the spending of the child care block grant that we get from the federal government. So that committee is who sets the priorities. And we can bring back more information about how that committee works and who all's on it.
I would like that, Mr. Chair, with your permission. The other thing that I'm trying to figure out is, given the nature of some of these programs and the fact that they're very important, and in looking at where we have other pockets of this same activity, I'm thinking, and I don't deal with this budget, so I don't know it intimately, but the Commission on Children and Families, it's my experience that they're doing a lot of planning, but I don't know what direct services they're providing. I don't know what planning goes on here versus direct services. I'm just trying to ferret all that out and see how they fit together and see if there's duplication.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, go ahead.
Senator Johnson, Tom Olson, the administrator of the Child Care Division, and I just testified in the Human Resources Subcommittee, Representative Richardson's subcommittee, in an effort to try to bring those together. So we can bring back some information that we provided there and see if we can't outline all that for you in preparation for phase two.
That would be very helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, I was just going to note for the subcommittee's benefit that presentation did happen on Tuesday, and while not wanting to put words in Representative Richardson's mouth, his committee is actively looking at potential to consolidate or what are the crossovers in the child care area. So that's an interest of the Human Services.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I fell on that serendipitously, so I'm glad he's...
So now you must be working with Representative Richardson on that committee. I was going to say, could you pass a message to him that maybe he could take the lead for this group in reporting back to us on his efforts?
Both Margaret and I would be happy to do that. Since Senator Johnson, in her absolute clarity of vision and astuteness of observation, fell on the point that Senator Carter and I should have fallen on. It's the only nice thing I'm going to say about you this week.
Mark it down, everybody.
You can tell they were high school friends. Mr. Chairman,
yes.
just a little bit of insight to all of you on this issue. During the early 80s, when that whole feminization of poverty was an issue, child care went into employment because it was an issue that so many low-income women were facing, and that they wanted to, and they were doing employer things and trying to get employers to realize they'd like to have child care in their buildings in some kind of way, and trying to make it an economic development issue as opposed just to the social service entities that women are supposed to take care of kids, and that was about it all. And so then the only reason the Department of Human Services have it is because they work with parents of children, and when they go to work, they have to try to help it out of their budget. So it became a big issue, a big tug of war between the Department of Human Services and the Employment Division in terms of where the money, you know, should lie in terms of these issues. And since it became as big, so it was divided along the lines of self-sufficiency in the Human Resources Department, Human Services, see, I keep getting names and dating myself, the Human Services Department versus that was in already in terms of employment. So in child care on this end has basically to do with those people who are providers of child mm-hmm. care and do it as an economic entity. Child care in children's services is basically helping mothers to return to work and taking care of
them. I appreciate the fact that we have some institutional history. Thank you.
Well, with wisdom comes responsibility. And so I think if it would be okay, Senator Carter, Senator Westland, if you two could also perhaps take a lead on this issue in terms of working with the Employment Department and making sure that you feel comfortable with the way the service is provided, where it's housed, et cetera, its integration, and in round two be able to share with us what we need to know.
So.
Okay.
Senator Johnson.
Senator Johnson, your score.
I'm a one.
And I'm bipolar again.
Okay.
I would like to understand more about it. There are some buzzwords in there that trouble me, and it's a, what do we have, 1.7 million of other funds, and I'd like to know more about it.
Okay. So. Why don't we, in round two, be prepared to come back and provide us with additional background information and perhaps talk about how the program integrates with other programs as well.
Okay.
Actually, Mr. Chair, motivated by my colleague here, I know that our numerical rankings are sending a message to the co-chairs, and I want to make sure that my numerical ranking reflects the questions that I have. So I'm going to move down to a 3, even though I think it's important.
Okay.
Senator Verger was a 3.
Okay. I'm a 1.
Okay.
Okay. Information dissemination, state and regional.
2.
Senator Carter.
2.
2.
2.
1.
I'm a 2.
And Senator Verger was a 3.
Okay. We're now in Tier 4, unemployment tax audit and collections of delinquent employer accounts.
1.
Senator Carter.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Chairman.
1.
2.
1.
1.
Senator Verger was a 4.
I have myself as a 2. Okay, we're on to customized services to key customer groups. I have a.
I'm sorry,
Representative Buckingham. I have a question mark on this one. And I see there's other members on the committee as well. Perhaps, Director, you can share with us just a little more background on this.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is, again, our Workforce and Economic Research Division, and their role as the designated workforce information entity in the state, as well as the labor market information entity, works very closely with a variety of customers to give them very specific information. The main example that we use is a customized survey in Douglas County of manufacturing entities and the workforce available for those manufacturing entities. It was something we were asked to do by the Workforce Investment Board and the economic development folks in Douglas County, and our economists and researchers did a survey and pulled together a very interesting study specifically for that group. So those are the kinds of customized information that you can get from our division.
Senator Johnson.
And was that prepared as a fee-for-service offering to some entity?
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, we discussed that with Douglas County. Often we will charge a fee, particularly if the work is above and beyond what we would do anyway. We ended up doing this within our federal resources internal to the department because, number one, it was a really good entry into the workforce, local workforce board system, and an example of what we can do for them. The answer was no, this one was not, but we can charge fees for these kinds of things.
Senator Johnson.
How often does the office, Oregon Economic and Community Development come to you and ask for specialized research projects?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, we work very closely with them. They don't ask for big ones, but they do ask us to join them in projects that they've got, and they use our information a lot. It's an ongoing partnership between them.
Could you give an example of data that you may have developed that informed a company's decision to move here or get jobs?
Let's see. Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson.
I'm putting you very on the spot. If you'd like to research that a little bit and maybe offer in phase two a sampling, I'm just trying to get a better grip on the kinds of recruitments that we're doing right now through Oregon Economic and Community Development. I would feel much comforted if I knew that those recruitments were based on some data that was both useful to the prospective client and was useful to us as a state in terms of understanding workforce. That's the piece that I'm trying to struggle with. And it seems to me that you offer a valuable resource. I'm just trying to understand if the agency charged with creating jobs in this state links up with you in a significant enough way that it's visible to anybody who looks.
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, I think the answer is yes, and we'll bring you examples. The one that I can think of right off the top of my head is in Region 9, which is Hood River, the Dalles area. That region worked with their counterparts on the other side of the river, economic development, and our economists to develop the data necessary for workforce, availability of workforce, and other kinds of market data to bring in a major transportation company whose name slips my mind. But it was
Cardinal
Transportation.
Yeah, that's
We'll have to get you that. But that is one example where we have regional economists around the state as well as regional workforce analysts. I think you know Shauna Sykes out of Astoria, who work on a very regular basis with people locally to do exactly that. So we'll bring you some examples in Facebook.
That would be very helpful. Thank you.
I apologize. I interrupted Representative Bakken.
No, the interruption went the other way, too.
Senator Carter.
Two.
Senator Morris.
Senator Verger, was it five?
I'm going to go two. Work opportunity tax credit.
Two.
One.
One.
Two.
And John Stone is going to that legislation.
Is this a federal tax credit, and then we just administer with Fed funds?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, yes, this is a federal tax credit.
Okay. That'd be a one then.
Can you share with the committee who the incentive is to hire certain target group members? Who are the target group members?
Can I tell you a little bit about that? Senator, former Representative John Schoon and Margaret Carter were dealing when gang activity first came online. We were trying to get more employers to take an interest in young people who were there. And so I was at the Portland Community College Skills Center, and a lot of young people were returning and going through that program. And we worked with employers just to give them tax credit if they would take these young people in that program.
You're good with it. I'm a one. Senator Carter's good.
Senator Vercher was a three, and she was asking the question, does DCBS also do this? And I'm not sure of that answer. So do you want this flagged?
They do not,
okay.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. I'm on to item 21. All other hearings.
One.
Two.
Two.
One with the same hearings amalgamation caveat.
One. Same.
Senator Berger was a five.
I'm a one. Foreign labor certification.
Two.
I don't understand that one, Mr. Chairman.
I think I need explanation as well.
It's a critical.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, what this is a program that the Employment Department assists when an employer can't find local workers and they find a need for foreign workers. We assist in monitoring that recruitment to make sure that there aren't local workers available. And so that's the Employment Department piece of this, and they do a prevailing wage survey, and that's what we monitor as part of that program.
Okay.
I'm a one, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Three. And, Mr. Chair, I'm too baffled to render an opinion. And the reason I am is I'm tussling with a constituent. Well, he's not a constituent because he's not American, but this is all federal. And the poor guy I'm working with tried to do this all right, came in a unique job niche, and has basically found himself so frustrated by the system that he now stands ready to be deported to South Africa. And I don't know, how is it that the state plays any role in this at all when the complexities seem all federally based?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, if we could have the person's name, we can find out for you. It is it does get caught up in INS kinds of issues and all the federal restrictions on immigration. What we do is simply try to monitor whether there is a workforce available and whether it's legitimate to bring somebody in, whether that individual then who is brought in can make his way through the federal red tape we don't get involved in, but perhaps if he gets hold of us, we can see if we can do something to help him.
Well, this is just a tragedy. He's tried to do everything right, hired a lawyer, spent $20,000, tried to do everything right. And just to give you an idea of how specialized the work is, he operates on a helicopter crew and is responsible as the hoist operator to put bar pilots out of a helicopter onto the deck of a ship to bring the ship across the Columbia River Bar, arguably one of the most dangerous bars in North America. Has done everything right, and finally, in frustration, the INS folks told him, well, one way to solve this is get married. And that just seems to me to be a stunningly short-sighted solution for a guy who has tried to do everything right and now waits for the knock on his door to be deported. Mm-hmm. And if you can help him, I will get you his name and every piece of ID about him I can later this afternoon.
Anybody got daughters out there?
That's what I was going to say.
Anybody got an unmarried daughter? Yeah. Anyway, until I know more about this, I don't feel competent to understand it. I'm going to rate it very low, a 5, but that mostly reflects my irritation with INS and failure to understand how the state plays much of a role in this complex system.
And I likewise a 5. It's a $199,000 total budget, and I would want to see the results of what it's actually doing.
Is this a federal requirement for the state of Oregon to conduct this service?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair.
Oh, well, it's a 1.
It's our protest.
Maybe in too simplistic explanation, offer this is that what you guys play is a facilitator role between the federal government and the individual employees to help make sure the dots are connected and the bases are touched. Is that a fair generalized description of what you do?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, it's more facilitating with the employer and the federal government as they're looking for labor. So, but as you described it, yes.
Mr. Chair. Representative Avakian.
Usually when one says it's a federal requirement, there's an or else to that. And usually the or else is you don't get the money. Is that what the requirement is? We have to do it to get the money?
And the people don't get the jobs.
Well, there might be a good goal behind this. And I actually think I think the goal of targeting local workers is the way to go. But when you say it's a requirement, I just don't know what that. I think the Constitution protects us from federal mandates in almost every respect. We just do them because we want the money. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Avakian, many of our programs are required, and the sanction is an increase in the federal unemployment tax to our employers. We don't believe this program falls into that category, but let me double check to see what the sanction might be.
You've got to feel some love over here, Mr. Chairman.
If it turns out that our employers are charged more, I'm having a religious conversion right here on the spot. I'm feeling the spirit of one move over me.
Those magic words. Accent.
Senator Verger was a 4 in your score, Mr. Chairman.
I bet if she heard what we heard.
She would hear.
I had it as a 5. I'm going to give it a 1 just to cover my backside.
By unanimous.
All the strength of the Ways and Means Committee.
Verger to a 1.
Excuse me, I feel it. I bet you leave me alone. I got it. It's a 1.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Ms. Lincoln, how many people do you serve, actually, in that program?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we had 1,100 applicants in the last year.
Wow. Huh.
I don't know what that means, applicants. I don't know if that means that's how many people you served or how many people asked to be served, but you only served a portion.
Tracy, do you want to come to the table?
And was there any specific industry base that was out in that?
These guys ask one question, they have 15.
Besides the bar pilots.
For the record, my name is Tracy Loudon. I'm the budget manager of the Employment Department. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, 1,100 applicants is what we measure because most of our work goes into processing the application. It then takes sometimes months and in some cases over a year for the federal government then to make a decision on that, and so there's quite a delay. I don't have the number in front of me now of how many the federal government said were approved, because that's not the workload item that we process. It is 1,100 applicants last year, but we can get that back to you. The second question was, is there a particular industry? We can get that information to you. I don't have that information today.
Mr. Chairman?
I don't guess
it would. So it just sounds like you guys are a clearinghouse as opposed to totally being an employment facilitator and for him helping them to find jobs. I mean, of course, you do it because that's what your mission is, but the federal government needed a clearinghouse for that to take place.
Yes, Chairman Smith, Senator Carter, it is what we have said is it is both a clearinghouse, a processing it,
right.
But the federal government needed a local state entity to determine the availability of workers here in Oregon.
Absolutely.
If they could supply that. So it was a combination partnership. The local gets to help, the local state agency gets to help determine if there's availability. If not, the feds will then process the document.
Yeah. One more.
We have another question, Representative Bakken.
And then is there some kind of an agreement that whatever service you provide leads to Oregon jobs? Or since the federal government is involved, could you, for instance, be facilitating applications that end up filling jobs in Washington or Idaho?
Right. Chairman Smith, Representative Avakian, it comes from the employers of Oregon. And so if an employer in Washington who's based in Washington has that, Washington has its own version of this that the Department of Labor funds.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vakian, if we had an employer working across the river on both sides, we would work with our counterparts in Washington to help for them to develop their own labor market information for us, for that company.
Okay, good. Great.
We need to get the numbers of Senator Johnson and Senator Carter on a few items here.
Whoops.
Senator Johnson, items 11, 12, 13, and 14.
Step away just a second. 11, a 1. 12, a 1. 13, a 1. 14, a 2. 15, a 2.
Okay. And Senator Carter, your rankings for items 1 through 9.
Mrs. Lincoln, why we have you up before us, I have a question regarding opportunities for youth. Senator Carter and Senator Johnson raised issues earlier today. Does the Employment Department have any partnership with the Oregon Youth Authority in trying to find opportunities for kids who may be transitioning out of facilities when they're under the care of the state of Oregon?
Mr. Chairman, we don't have anything official. We serve youth through working with the schools on labor market kinds of information and career development kinds of things. We have a lot of our, again, workforce and economic research division folks publish a lot of information and do speaking and that kind of thing. We don't have, at this point, a good contract or relationship with OYA. We are trying to gear back up a relationship with the Department of Corrections for transition there. It has been a matter of workload to be able to concentrate on that.
Before session comes to an end, I'd like to have further discussion on that.
Sure.
I was raised committee in a home that believed that when you're busy, you stay out of trouble. And,
I don't mind devil's workshop.
Yeah, that's right. And if we're going to reduce recidivism within
OIA, rather than bringing these kids out after taking a block of time to try and set them straight, but then just tossing them back out without an activity to do anything, to me seems counterproductive. And I have a lot of family and friends who work within OIA. I worked in OIA. And I just think there's an area between now and the time session ends to further that discussion on how do we create, or at least try to create,
right,
opportunities. You're not going to be able to create jobs, but to create opportunities for kids, mm-hmm, to get these jobs.
Mr. Chair, we'll be glad to talk with you about that.
Okay. Okay. Any other issues of the committee? I think we are done.
Mr. Chairman, just one thing. I'm really, really very glad to see Dr. Lincoln. She worked a long time in the community college system and does understand quite well workforce issues. So I have the confidence in believing that if there's an opportunity out there for youth and workforce design and development, that we don't have any greater person in our system than Dr. Lincoln to do that.
Terrific. It's a vote of confidence. Senator Westland.
Ditto.
Well, the reason I raise that issue, committee, is the employment department we've gone through, and I didn't see a lot of significant issues in terms of areas of discussion for round two or three, but I thought this was one that at least merit further discussion. So, with that said, I guess we are going to close the public hearing for today.
Thank you.
Consider ourselves adjourned.
Well, it might be interesting when we get there to also take another.